From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Kevin Turner, and this is the Autosport National Podcast. Well, welcome to another edition of the Autosport National Podcast, which now has its own channel as part of our expanded approach to UK club and national motorsport. And we've got another fun edition today, which me and Stephen Lickwish are going to have a nice little debate. So I'm going to introduce my other guest, which is Group National Editor Stephen Lickwish. How are you doing, Stephen? Looking forward to this one. We had quite a good fun with the circuit corners one, didn't we?
Yes, when we did this, picking out the best places to spectate from, we had a completely different list for each of us, and we'll see if we can do that again today.
Yeah, and we had someone writing as well saying that it inspired them to go to every race circuit in the country this year. So that is good luck on that one. That's a good target to have.
Impressive levels of commitment, isn't it?
That is, yeah. In fact, be interested to hear from other people as to the events that they've gone to and corners that they like watching from, all that sort of stuff. Well, we've got hopefully another fun one today. We kind of visited this idea in the past, but we've kind of been a little bit more strict about our rules around it this time. Otherwise, you could go on forever. So we've kind of come up with the idea of what would be our fantasy national race meeting, effectively, and the series that we would like to see on together. So what we've done is that once again, me and Stephen have put our own lists together entirely separately. So I have no idea what we've put. We had a few rules. We've each got to pick four real series that exist today. We're also going to come up with a series that we'd like to exist. So we're each going to come up with five. And we're also going to make sure that at least one of each of our choices, one's a GT, one's a touring car, one's a single seat. So we've got a nice mix, and one's a historic. So obviously some of those could overlap, but that's the rules we've set ourselves. I have no idea what Stephen has gone for. He doesn't have any idea. Well, actually, we know each other well enough. He probably knows what I've gone for. I suspect mine are going to be more grounded in reality than mine, I suspect. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing where we end up. And again, Stephen, if anyone wants to send in their fantasy meeting, where should they be emailing?
Yes, please send it into national@motorsport.com. We can, on a future edition of the Autosport National Podcast, we can pick out some of the other intriguing suggestions. Because the key thing is, there's so many to choose from. There's about 200 or so different categories in the British Isles. So there's some great categories that are going to obviously miss out today, but there's so many brilliant ones out there, so we simply can't mention all of them.
Absolutely. I made the mistake of suggesting this idea before checking the list of series in the country for 2025 that Stephen had very kindly sent over previously. I thought, oh my goodness, making a decision is going to be tricky. So if you're not on the list or your favourite series is on the list, it's not. It doesn't mean we think it's terrible. They're absolutely dozens of good series and championships in the country, and I'm sure we'll get to see quite a few of them. And who knows, if we get enough responses from people, maybe we'll put together a sort of a listeners or readers fantasy Autosport meeting and see how close they are. Anyway, let's get on and see how fun or disastrous this might be. Stephen, how should we do this? Let's say, what's your GT category of choice? Is that a good way of doing it? And then we'll see how we go from there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've stuck with the modern theme for this one, because various other categories fall into the historic scene. So I've gone for British GT as my GT category. I just feel that the number of factory drivers that have now entered the series in the recent years has really elevated it up another level. The variety of different manufacturers, we've got Ferrari coming back, as we've mentioned on previous podcasts for this year. Even if the GT3 battle's not that brilliant in a particular race, there might be a great GT4 battle. So I thought, as the sort of pinnacle of sports car racing in the UK, I think it had to be British GT. Although, having said that, it will be an interesting season this year for the Britcar Endurance Championship, which has had a relaunch this year, combining the previous British Endurance Championship and Britcar Trophy. And that's set to have huge grids for this year. Well over 30 cars are entered for its first round at Silverstone next month. So that will be an interesting one to watch. But I haven't gone for that just because it's not happened in its new format yet, whereas British GT is a tried and trusted successful series.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is where we haven't got very far before we've got the same thing on our list, because British GT was on mine as well. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think, you know, it is unless you're talking about British touring cars, which we kind of keep out of national, don't we? Because we kind of consider its own separate thing. I know that's a bit of an arbitrary distinction, really. But yeah, British GT, that's a professional category in this country. It's got some fantastic cars. And for me, when I was trying to choose these different categories, I wanted to tick various boxes. And one of them is the level of competition and the professionalism. So I think you need to have a big contemporary championship in there. And for me, it was British GT. When you've got people like Raphael Acciello rocking up, and obviously we've got Sandy Mitchell, who could, should, or would have won the title last year. Yeah, they're really proper drivers. So they're some of the best drivers you'll see regularly racing in the country, along with the top BTCC guys. I mean, if we're keeping our 10 slots for our race program on this fantasy meeting, I guess that means I can pick another GT category, in which case I'm going to go much older. I'm going to go for the pre-1963 GTs, which we see at places like Goodwood and the Silverstone Festival, because, that's some fantastic racing there. The cars aren't quite as trick and quick as the pre-66 cars. So I would probably go for that, but I might stipulate that you get extra points if you rock up with something other than a Jaguar E-Type or AC Cobra, because like many historic series, it has tended to go down that route of they're the quick competitive cars, so you do see a lot of them at the front, whereas really you want a few short wheelbase 250 GT Berlinetta Ferraris and Aston Martin DB4 GTs and things like that. So yeah, British GT was my vote, so that gets two, but if I'm allowed an extra slot because we've got 10, then I'm going to go for the pre-63 GT. So, okay, Stephen. So, what should we go for next? Do you want to pick your single seater category?
Okay. So, knowing you, Kev, I think there's no way you will have picked this one. So, I think we'll have a bit of difference now. So, I've gone for classic Formula Ford 1600 for this, and the key criteria for me was I wanted, there's some fantastic historic single seater series out there and modern single seater series, but I wanted one where there's going to be some close racing, and particularly in the modern series you don't necessarily always get that. The cars can be quite difficult to overtake, and then in some of the historic series you can have a huge range of different driving ability, whereas I've gone for classic Formula Ford just because there's pretty much always a good group of drivers at the front of that can have a nice close battle and put on a really good show and please the spectators and just create a really, really good race. So I could have gone for historic, but I decided to go for classic just for some personal preference, like prefer those cars over the historic ones. But I think it's been a championship that's done really well in the past few years. It's been getting some good grids, and I think it would be a really good addition to this meeting.
Well, you might be surprised, Stephen. I didn't go for classic FS1600, but I did go for the HSCC historic FS1600.
Oh, right.
Okay. So I know that I've sometimes in the past been taking the mickey out of some of our other colleagues who have been Formula Ford fans, but the fact is that it does provide some fantastic racing. I was actually covering historic Formula Ford when I got the job at my first job at Autosport as well, so it's kind of got a little bit of an attachment to it. But I would say of all the club races I've been to over the last 20 odd years, most often the series that's most often produced a good race is historic Formula Fords for me, and they've, because they're a bit older and whatever, they do slipstream a bit more easily than some of the more slippery recent cars. And you know, like most, you know, proper championships, the people at the front are always good. I take your point that maybe this year classic FF1600 is the one to go for. I guess if we, in our fantasy meeting, if we didn't want to have an FF1600 double bill, I'm sure James Beckett would help us out with that if we decided to do that. But if we wanted a non FF1600 thing, I'd probably stick in GB3 then as a tick in the young driver, some young driver box, the up and coming talents. The reason I didn't go for it is that I realised on my list I was very, I'm a bit car centric. For me, it's a lot about the cars. And I just thought I need at least one series on my list that you know you're going to get good racing. So I'm quite happy to watch a well-driven GT3 Ferrari disappear off the front of a pack, but other people might not be. So I thought I should throw in a good racing series, and Formula Ford, as we have shown, is an obvious place to go. So there we go. So we've got British GT. We both agreed with, and a Formula Ford 1600 category of the. Where's the cut-off point? Historics is up to about 72, is it? I think, and Classic goes obviously through the 70s, doesn't it? I think
yes, up to the early 80s. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Very so, like, so you're, the which one you prefer might depend on your age.
Yes,
yeah. So what you remember from back in the day? Because, well, I guess the heyday of Formula Ford was 70s and 80s, really. So I'm arguing Stephen's choice into that slot. I think.
Well, I suppose the interesting thing about Classic is some of the historic cars do also race in the Classic series. As well,
that's a good point. I'll tell you what, let's go for Classic FF 1600 then, and the slot that we've opened up, let's have GB3. So we've got a couple of national professional teams leading the bill. It's like the old school British GT, British Formula 3 categories, but instead of filling it with one make things, we're going to have an assortment of other bits and bobs which you'll come to. Okay, Stephen, let's go in. So we've done GTs, we've done single seaters. What's your touring car? Your tin top choice.
My tin top choice, I've gone for the Mini 7 Racing Clubs categories. Ooh. Mini 7s and Mini Miglias. I've yet to watch one of their races that hasn't been a brilliant contest. There's always battling at the front. And I think the thing, particularly about the Miglia field, is that there's some really quality people at the front. You've had people like Andrew Jordan dipping in and out in recent years, Nick Padmore, alongside the regulars like Aaron Smith, who's a multiple champion in the series. So there's some real good quality at the front of the field. And I just think if you want close, brilliant slipstreaming racing with a big grid, then you can't go far wrong from the Minis. And they've been a great addition when they've appeared at British Touring Car Championship events in the past couple of years. And you can also watch them at events like the Mini Festival. And they might be sort of suited to some tracks more than others, but they still, there's always going to be a good battle to be had wherever they're racing. So that's what I went for. I did think if I was going to go for something a bit more modern, I've always had a soft spot for the Clio Cup, but I felt I couldn't put that down at the moment just because the new fifth generation series, the Clio Cup GB, it's yet to really get the numbers on the grid. It's had some very close racing last year, but didn't get out of single figures. It needs a bit of time for that to grow a bit more. So I went for another sort of more historic-y one with the Mini 7 Racing Club.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think you were on safe ground there. I think you knew I was never going to pick a Mini category. I appreciate they're wonderful, but, you know, the scourge of front-wheel drive when racing cars should have driven wheels at the back. But, I have to say, the racing is fantastic. The equivalent that I almost went for this actually was Legends for similar reasons. Yeah. We've talked about them before, though. They're my guilty pleasure of club racing, because I think that they're worth a mention as well. But in the end, I went a little bit more predictable. Well, actually, I've kind of cheated slightly, and I've kind of gone for, I've picked out two possibles, and Stephen, maybe you could be the deciding vote on which one we go for. So either the HSCC Mod Sports and Saloons category, just because I think it's fantastic. The people, yeah, that for me is what club racing should be about, is do your own special and develop it and rock up. And of course, there's the historic side of it as well, the cars that were around back in the 60s and 70s, or the CTCRC Super Tourers. But with that, obviously, it depends very much on the grid that you can get. So if Brands Hatch Super Touring Power, which will have the third one this year, which we talked about on a previous episode, that will have some of the New Zealanders coming over. They usually get a nice big entry or decent entry for that. But I do appreciate that Super Tourers are a little bit complicated, a little bit expensive to run. So maybe that leans it more towards Mod Sports and Saloons. What do you think, Steve?
Well, you do also have that same problem with those cars as well. They don't.
That's true. Yeah, we see. I just want these exotic things, don't I?
Yeah. So I think they're both really good contenders, and like you say, if it's the right event, then the Super Tourers can descend. But I think with both of them, you've always got that sort of natural limit of how many cars there are out there.
Well, maybe we have a super touring class within our mod sports and saloons race.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, I think one version of the... Yeah, because it always sort of fits that ethos in the sense of these completely very developed, highly developed cars. So
outrageous cars, but done by manufacturers and major outfits rather than, privateers. Although, of course, some of those... you look at things like the Baby Bertha, for example. I mean, that was a proper effort in the mid-70s, wasn't it? So I don't mean anything disparaging by privateer at all. But yeah, maybe we cheat and we combine that. It's our goddamn race meeting. Why not?
Some grid, seeing a grid of incredible one-off special saloons and a few super tourists mixed in it. I don't think anyone can complain about that.
Yeah, and Jake Hill would be, he would have to be entered, but we'd also have to not have a modern Nissan super touring Nissan Primera, because that's not fair. He's too quick in them. So I think we should give him something older. I think an old E36 BMW or something like that we should get in. So he has to work a little bit harder. We love Jake. He's a great character and a very enthusiastic current British Touring Car champion, of course. Okay, so there we go. So what's your fourth series of those that... If you've got the same as me for the fourth one, I'll be absolutely amazed.
I'd be surprised, but you never know. So I've gone for another historic series. And this one, I watched for the first time last year at the Donington Historic Festival and sort of fell in love with it a little bit. It's the HRDC Jerry Marshall Trophy, which is... touring cars from the 70s, early 80s, and I think they're just fantastic, because one of the things that can be the case in historic motorsport is sometimes the cars might be brilliant in themselves, but they don't necessarily have the liveries that really excite and can really make the grid colourful and pop out. And I think that's where the Jerry Marshall Trophy comes in, because pretty much all the cars on that grid run in period liveries. So you've got not only a huge different collection of cars, from the SD1s and Camaros at the front to much more smaller things like Fiestas and Alphas and some BMWs at the throughout the field. You've also got this complete mix of different colours and liveries and things, and it just transports you back to a different era. And it's had some really good grid numbers, considering it's only a few years old, the series. So that's what I've gone for as my fourth one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I put a list of honourable mentions because I like to cheat and I find it difficult to get to limit. Even if I self-impose my limit, I'm not very good at sticking to it. And I did put, as well as Legends and pre-63 GTs, which obviously we've now been able to introduce into our meeting, then I did put Jerry Marshall Trophy for Group 1 touring cars as one of my honourable mentions. So, I mean, we're Jake Hill again. Sticking in a Capri, aren't we? But yeah, sideways Capris, Bimmers. I mean, the V8 Yang tanks, don't they? They rock up as well at Goodwood. But that is not what I've gone for. That's good. So the one I've gone for, it's a bit... Now, this is where I think it's important that we probably pick the circuit. I think most of the things we've chosen so far, you could apply to most circuits in the country. I mean, you couldn't have British GT at Cadwell Park, sadly. But I think most of these you could take to most circuits. But this choice, I think there's probably only Silverstone and maybe Donington that you could take these cars to. So I've selected the Masters Endurance Legends.
Yes.
So, I mean, sports prototype cars of really only about 10 years ago. So we're talking at the front things like, Peugeot 908s, I guess, would be the one that catches people's attention, but Oak Pescarolos and things like that. So the sports prototypes, LMP1 and LMP2s of the sort of first 10, 15 years of the 21st century, and GT cars thrown in as well. So that was my choice, just because I think they're fantastic pieces of kit. They really are. And they bring historic racing so much up to date that I don't think you can really call it historic racing, to be honest. The only thing is that obviously we don't always yet have the aces of historic racing driving them. That hasn't quite taken off yet, but we do get the occasional highlight. I mean, one of the things I've been hoping for. So a few years back, Nicholas Manassian got in an XJR 14 at Silverstone Festival, I've talked about this before, Silverstone Classic as it was at the time, and I think he came around at the first lap of the Group C race about 7 seconds clear of the field, which wasn't much of a race, but just to see a car driven like that by a professional is quite something else. Really, you don't need any other cars going around at that point. And I would love to see somebody like Anthony Davidson come and do a one-off drive in a Peugeot 908 round there, because I think he could leave the historic Grand Prix circuit lap record in tatters, because those cars are quicker than the historic, the Masters F1 cars. So, that's one of those where the field can vary a lot. So we need to hire someone good to gather entries together, Stephen, for our meeting. Otherwise we could be in trouble. But that's what I went for, just because I think the cars are mega.
Well, and I think it's no bad thing to have a mixture series somewhere you've got just the fact that the cars themselves are mega rather than necessarily the racing being brilliant. So as long as you've got a nice mix of those types of series, which we've got here, then I think it's absolutely fine. Masters Endurance Legends is a perfect one to have on the bill.
They're brilliant to look around close up as well, because, I mean, you talk some of these cars, as I say, the Peugeot, I mean, we don't really see Audis. I think there are maybe a couple of Audis racing in the States. We don't tend to see them over here. But if you walk around, a car like the Peugeot 908, and obviously it had millions and millions spent on it by a major manufacturer with top engineers. You know, we're talking, you know, borderline sort of F1 level in terms of the sophistication and all that sort of stuff. They're just marvels, really. Even though I do accept that I'm sure the Minis and the Formula Fords will provide you with a closer race at the front. I don't think there's any argument too much about that. Okay, so we've each chosen our four series that exist. Are there any more honourable mentions that you wanted to throw in before we get onto our fantasy series?
One that I didn't mention when I was talking about single seaters that has been sort of on the rise a little bit recently is the Derek Bell Trophy, which has had more F5000 cars as part of the grid last year. A few of the drivers from Australia and New Zealand made the trip over for some of the rounds. And again, that's another one where the cars are mega, but the racing, it isn't necessarily always going to be the closest of contests. So that was one that nearly made my list, but didn't quite.
Yeah, that's fair enough. The only other one I had on mine on Mitch, so I say Legends, 363 GTs and the Jerry Marshall that you've picked, which is good. The only other thing I had for a completely different reason was the 750 Formula. Oh. Yeah, this is the oldest running club circuit racing championship in the country, and it just that it's really we're perhaps lacking slightly the grassroots element that I thought about bringing in, you know, just a proper you can run the car yourself, the cars all look different, they're all weird and wonderful, and it's just really it's proper grassroots club racing. So I did have that on my honorable mentions list. I think probably it also suffers from the racing, isn't you're very beholden as to who rocks up as to whether you've got a good race. Some seasons you have a really good fight at the front, and other seasons it can be a bit of a one car or one driver show. So it didn't quite make my cut in the end, but I thought I'd give them a mention. Okay, so we're going to, in our already quite fantastical approach, we're going to go even more fancy. So a series that doesn't currently exist in the UK, what have you gone for? I'm really intrigued to see what you've come up with on this one, Stephen.
Well, I've sort of combined two elements into this series. So the first is, it's going to be a one-mate series, but it's for a car that we don't currently have a one-mate series for. And that is the Sonny Howard-produced Ford Escort Mark 1 RSRs, because I think they just look brilliant. I know we've talked on previous podcasts about the Escorts being commonplace in rallying, but I think these particular machines with their sort of wide wheel arches, the big wings, the sort of fiberglass body, they just look mega. And I think to see a whole grid of those racing together would be quite a sight. One of the reasons why there hasn't been one is because at the moment, all these different cars are in various different specifications of engines and bits and pieces. So it wouldn't be a fair contest if you did bring them all together. But this is we're not talking about reality here. So I think in an ideal world, a grid of those cars would look mega. But also the other element that I was thinking to combine it would be to make the race a champion of champions. So we would have various champions from different club categories all in these Escorts and to see how good they are. Because one of the things about club racing is there's some really hidden talents out there. And it, even if a driver is dominant in a particular championship, it's always difficult to know quite how good they are because you never know quite how strong the opposition is. Whereas if we put all of these drivers together on one grid and find the ultimate sort of club racing champion, and if that grid happens to be in a full of these Escort Mark 1 RSRs, then I think that's quite an appealing concept.
And not only that, but you've also made the top 10 club drivers that we do at the end of the year even easier to put together, because then we've had them in a race.
There's a secret motive, hidden motive behind.
I love that idea. I think that's brilliant. I was going to say that you've got almost hints of Escort Mexico Challenge back in the early 70s, and that had people. I think Jody Scheckter did that, and there's some proper drivers that did that. So you've almost duplicating that, but with rather quicker. I mean, those things are proper pieces of kit, aren't they? Those Sonny Howard Escorts, they do look proper. I'm not normally a huge fan of one make series, and you've picked two, but I have to say, if you're going to have one make series, then a bunch of minis wheel to wheel to the very checkered flag, and then a champion of champions racing these highly powered space frame Ford Escorts, I think is even I can't argue against those. So yeah, great choice. Now I'm thinking we need to make this happen. We just get in touch with him and say, how many of these cars can he stick out that are the same spec?
It would be quite a sight, I think. I think it would be something quite special to see. But who knows? They are actually planning a special race meeting, a race event at Lyddon Hill later this year, where there will be some of these cars on the grid together, along with various other Sonny Howard produced cars.
Blimey, they won't take long to get one of those around Lyddon.
Yes.
It's only about a mile, isn't it? Cool. It'll be a really quick lap time.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, you won't be waiting long for them to come back around, no.
I don't think Lyddon is where we could have our race meeting, sadly.
I think those Peugeots around Lyddon would...
No, I wouldn't get our second or third gear, I expect. But, excellent. Oh, I really like that choice. That's good. I was tempted to revert to type and say what I've always wanted to see, one of the things that I wanted to see in my life, is a properly driven 91730 Can-Am car by a pro and have a Can-Am series. But I realise that is not going to happen. And there are Can-Am cars of various vintages in other things. I mean, obviously Goodwood has the early Can-Am cars at the revival. So I didn't go for that in the end, but I have gone for something that ran almost exactly the same time with a very similar name, and that is the Trans Am series with Ford Mustangs, Plymouth Barracudas, AMC Javelins. I got really obsessed with this series a few years back. You had Mark Donohue, Pinelli Jones, you had Penske involved, proper teams, proper drivers. And I think it peaked in about 1970, and I just thought it was really cool. And I looked this up before this. I said, I think there is a race series for these. I've seen the flow. They actually have a schedule of events in America, which includes going to Sebring and Laguna Seca and all the rest of it. So I've decided that we've got a limitless budget for this meeting, obviously, because finances just make things boring. So I'd go to them and go, right, we'll freight your championship across to have a foreign round. It'd probably have to be Donington or Silverstone, wouldn't it? And so I like to see the Trans Am cars, the 1966 to 72 era, because after that they got into 911s and Corvettes and it kind of turned into a GT championship, really. So Camaros, Mustangs, Javelins, I'd like to see them. I've always wanted to see those cars close up, never had the opportunity. And there's an honourable mention along very similar lines, the Historic Touring Car Championship in Australia, which had a similar kind of idea, really. And they also, the Aussies do things properly, don't they? They've got a proper championship out there as well, which should be good. But I think that the Trans Am cars probably got a bit more variety and are even more unusual from a British perspective.
It's something completely different to what we're used to, and that would be another selling point for this fantasy race meeting, really, in the sense that these are cars that are not usually seen here in the UK, and here's a whole grid of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, let's just summarise that then. So we've agreed on British GT as our headline. Because we both picked Formula Ford categories, we're going to go with your classic Formula Ford 1600s and GB3, I think, as the other single-seater category. And because we both picked British GTs, I'm going to slot in pre-63 GTs for a bit of historic action. I've gone completely crazy and put Masters Endurance Legends in as probably the quickest cars. Well, they will be the quickest cars at the event. HSCC Mod Sports and Saloons with Super Touring Class thrown in just because I like to have my cake and eat it. And then Stephen's been much more sensible and he's gone the Mini 7 Club, HRDC Jerry Marshall Trophy. And I really like the idea with the Ford Escorts and the Champion of Champions. That's really good. So there we go. I really enjoyed that. I hope the listeners enjoyed it too. And it's quite good fun. But yeah, do let us know. Obviously, there are so many things you could pick. I'm almost as interested to know about what your fantasy race series would be. What is are there championships elsewhere that you know about in Europe or America? I mean, I've always fancied watching a historic IndyCar race, for example, but I guess most IndyCars won't be in their natural environment, will they, racing around a British club circuit? But I always thought that was quite fun. But yeah, let us know. We'd be interested to know what the series that you'd pick that do exist and what the fancy ones as well. And also, I think, Stephen, it's probably fair to say, like, let us know any ideas for some of these fun podcasts. Should we stick that message out there?
Please do. Yeah. If you've got anything that you'd like to hear us debate about, please drop us a line at national@motorsport.com and we will try and schedule that in for one of these future editions. We'd really be interested to hearing from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, they're quite good fun. And we didn't quite manage a full 5 out of 5 different, did we, this time, like we did with the corners. We had one that was exactly the same and one where they were, you know, a pair that were pretty similar. But otherwise, I think we've done all right. So, anyway, thank you very much to Stephen Licorice. Enjoyed that one. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back soon with another All Sport National podcast. All right.